All right, I'm recording.
Yes, please. Okay. I would like to bring this hearing to order. And this hearing is on October 20th, 2025. It's immediately following the public hearing for 14 Cottage Street, Fairhaven, Vermont, parcel 24-51-49. For the location, or the location is here in the Fairhaven Municipal Building, 5 North Park Place, Fairhaven, Vermont, 05743. For the purpose of the Zoning Board of Adjustment to conduct a hearing for an application filed for construction of an elevated small seasonal use structure with two seasonal recreational rental use campsites within the FEMA AE Special Flood Hazard Area SFHA. The property is a vacant lot, 9.8 acre parcel on the east side of Cottage Street. Parcel ID 24-51-18. We remember we will be conducting according to Robert's Rules of Order. I would like anyone on the board to please disclose any conflicts of interest and or ex parte communications. Seeing none, we've already discussed the rules of interest or the definition of interested persons. There's nobody else here, so I'm going to, with the permission of the board, if we could have a general consensus that we can skip over the definitions for interested people.
I second it.
No, it's just a general consensus.
Aye. Yes.
Okay. Motion, general consensus carries. All right. Do I have to have them redo the oath for this?
No. I think if you're sworn and people are continuing to be under that oath for this second meeting, that is.
So you gentlemen understand that you are continuing under the same oath?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Do you have any written information to give the board on this one?
We have an application with site plans and everything else.
Okay.
You should have.
I didn't know if you had anything else you were going to.
No, what'll be new to the mix, like the last one, we'll go over the floodplain managers, the Vermont floodplain managers' recommendations. That's a little bit new, but the application, do you folks have it, or do you not?
I just have this summary of the action items.
We're here.
Okay, no, you should have it. That's
yeah,
the floodplain.
That.
No.
Here,
no. I'll give him another packet.
There's a packet.
The board member that I had ready.
You should have a packet dated August 8th, 2025 for 0 Cottage Street, because we don't have an E911 address for this property yet. We do have a tax map ID number.
This is just, unfortunately, not color copies.
No, this one doesn't need much in the way.
So much for saving trees.
Oh!
What? I believe this is the application. This is what you're looking
for.
That does look like my handwriting. Yeah,
it is.
There's typed text at the bottom of that page.
Yeah, that's the same as this one.
Okay, so if it's faster, I can read it to you folks. It's not that lengthy.
Soothing voice. I'd say go for it.
Oh, okay.
Mirrors are open. Yeah, I got my
fingers. So let me do this. And the recorder, what I can do tomorrow, if Phil needs me to do that, then you can get a copy of what I'm going to read here. I'm pretty sure Phil has it. And I usually tend to put a cover letter on each application. And so part of that cover letter says that most of this 9.8 acre parcel is within the mapped FEMA floodway zone, and that current Fairhaven zoning regulations do not provide for development in the floodway. The reality is that there's a number of existing substantial deer stands in the same location in the floodway, and it's possible for the ZBA to grant approval of this proposal under the current Fairhaven regulations. The treehouse is going to be installed on a mature red oak, which is the only one I know of on that 18 acres of this size and character. And that is estimated to be about 359 feet above mean sea level. That's about where the base of the tree is. The base flood elevation is 369.5 feet, same as the rest of Cottage Street. And so there's almost a 10-foot, in this case 12-foot, vertical feet to make elevation 371, which would have to be accessed by ladders and stairs. So this is really up there in this giant oak tree. I say giant. I'm a retired forester. I should have measured it, but it's pushing 30 inches DBA.
And I had an arborist look at it too.
So the treehouse floor deck would be constructed 12 vertical feet or so above the native elevation, or 371 feet above sea level, accessed by ladders and stairs. The application includes seasonal temporary installation of two tent platforms, each one being of about 500 square feet or less.
Each one 500?
500 square feet.
I thought it was 200.
No, the treehouse the treehouse is about 250 square feet.
Yeah.
Okay. The tent platform is for like glamping.
Yeah. Like what I showed you.
If you look at a glamping tent, they're pretty good size.
Yeah.
Your application,
okay, so the application says in my humble handwriting, to construct a 200 to 250 square foot treehouse on a mature tree above FEMA flood hazard area. Also requests of two seasonal tent platforms.
He's talking about that 200 square feet of your two platform tents.
Oh. I saw it somewhere.
Yeah.
Where is that?
200 isn't big enough.
Square footage proposed additional ground level area underneath description of all work or all proposed work.
That's what you get when you do them in two phases, these applications. So maybe the applicant himself can decide on what he wants, inform us on what his thinking is for
500.
Yeah, I mean, 200 is 10 by 20. That sounds large, but it's not a glamping size.
So,
I was going to say, because
this says 500.
Yeah. Well, I mean, okay. One of the cover letters
is just a typo. It's a typo. Probably you're thinking one, but dealing with the tree, you're thinking you wrote the other.
250 for the tree, 500 for the glamping.
Okay.
Yeah. So the difference is the treehouse is a fixed structure. and it actually is exempt. I don't know if it's exempt or not, but the other ones are seasonal platforms that are going to be taken up and as the floodplain manager has a requirement on it as well. So that's basically the application. The use is going to be, who knows if somebody wants to try and do that year round, go out there on a January weekend and try to survive in a treehouse, but I think the intention is basically warm weather season type stuff. Right?
Yeah, three season most likely.
Three season.
Yeah.
So what's the dimension for the base again, for the tents, roughly?
Well, you're 500, so it'll be...
500 square feet would be large enough to accommodate most large tents, not a mash size tent. Those are even bigger, but...
So you don't have the...
Well, 22 by 22 or 20...
20 by 20 would be 400,
yeah.
And that's a pretty good sized tent. The tent has to be small. The platform has to be larger than the tent because right. You have to anchor it to the platform. So there's got to be a perimeter that the tent fits into, and that's why 500 came to mind. I really don't know what's out there, but I figure 500 is a reasonable size.
And that's actually what this one is here. So I don't. Did you see that one, Polly?
No.
Question for.
I'm just. So is it? Less than 500 square feet Oh, each. Okay, so it's going to be...
Two templates.
So it could be, say, up to 1,000 square feet total.
No, it'd be, yeah.
Well, for the tent platforms, it could be up to that. And you could ask the applicant, he's done some of these tent thing setups, so I'm just following.
I missed the each.
Each, yes.
Are these anchored by down in the ground 4 foot?
They're pretty heavy, you're not gonna move them without equipment. So what the floodplain manager said is during a flood hazard, they have to be anchored to the ground, which you basically you drive in screw anchors and then you chain the tent platforms to them so that they're not gonna float in case of a flood situation. And then they're too heavy for anybody to move. They'll probably have to come in two sections and be bolted together just to be able to manage them and move them. But they're gonna be too heavy for anybody to steal, that kind of thing. So they might burn them, but
I see, I was wondering about that.
The risk of anything, right?
So you're gonna have these things that we're going to, these anchors.
Right.
Now, will those anchors, when you remove them for the platforms for this season, will the anchors remain there?
Yeah, they'll stay there. I mean, what they are is, if you there's different configurations, but in general, if you think of an ice auger, a powered ice auger, everybody's gone ice fishing or seen it done. There's a big screw head at one end and a long shaft.
Long dog to the tree.
Right. So what these anchors are, and they're made for this pad, they're made for this purpose to float. They're made to screw in and resist being pulled vertically out. And so the length and the size of the screw is usually manufactured for the task. But it's not going to take a lot to, and they're not very expensive for the purpose here. Where you screw them in, they have an eye bolt at the top, which the chain goes through and then goes through.
It's kind of like
these platforms are going big enough, so they won't go very far. They're even
well, the power of water. I can see them going downstream somewhere.
They'll never make it.
But it's a wooded setting, so they're going to hang up on something. So
and to mention that piece of the property, have you ever seen flood?
Well, there's another question.
Where the tree is. Where?
See, that's the issue. We haven't, if you were to survey it, it could very well be that this is possibly out of the floodplain. My humble opinion is that it is not out of the floodplain. You were using the old-fashioned contour maps, which were 20 vertical feet in elevation, based all the way back to the USGS maps from day one, they had a margin of error. I mean, 20 vertical feet is what each one of those lines represented. These new LADAR, their laser indexed contour mapping, and they're pretty reliable within 1 foot of elevation. They're brand new technology with brand new computer science behind them. So they're much more reliable than the old USGS 20. But there seems to be a pretty significant gap between the floodplain, the base floodplain elevation for this lake location, which could be wrong, and where we have to go to stay out of that base floodplain elevation.
You have to go up like a little over 12 feet.
12 feet. Yeah. So here's the rest of the story, briefly, is that the reason they went to all this science and effort, and this started 10 years before COVID hit, was to be able to update the contour mapping so it was more reliable. And so they also wanted, with new sophisticated computer software, be able to predict what river behavior will be in a flood. So to do that, they had to have better elevation stuff. And it took them a decade to get all the state mapped with this 1 foot elevation contouring. And just about then, COVID hit and everything froze. By now, these maps should be in every town and official used by FEMA. Because what they're gonna find is, they're expected, what they're gonna find is that what's floodplain now may not be floodplain under these new maps we're using this updated information. And what wasn't floodplain may be floodplain. It's gonna be a radical change. And they're very close to getting them published. COVID set them back, and then the administration may have set them back years, but it's coming. And in any case, it's a great useful tool for planners to use. It's not end-all guaranteed to be 100% accurate by any means. But we're working with what we have and making the best decisions today with what we got to work with. And so we have to, you can prove through survey maybe that these numbers are wrong, but it doesn't seem the cost justify the needs for the kind of structure that we're going to propose here on that location. This is a primitive site. There's no sewer, there's no water, there's no power, and none proposed. Basically, the treehouse is going to be just that. Porta potty is going to be used, or two porta potties if it need be. We have to anchor that to something that won't float away. And so these are really low impact, low risk type proposals here as far as the floodplain manager is concerned. And he's given us just some rules about how to do it. The rules are the lowest elevation should be 372 feet, say. Stairs should be anchored. Wrong notes. I've got them both stapled here. Okay, thank you. Treehouse, 1 foot above base flood elevation. So we've talked about that. Access details are not clear on the application. If the access to the treehouse is steps and ladders, structurally independent from the tree, connected to the framing of the treehouse, then here we go again. The stairs should be anchored to prevent damaging the main structure. Tent platform. These are portable. They're to be placed on the site and removed with the porta toilets seasonally each year. If they're going to be placed on the site and removed with the porta toilets seasonally, make sure they're anchored in a way to prevent them from floating away. And he just proposes changing them to a post or a large tree. But I've known Mr. Meadash for a number of years, and he likes these screw anchors, and really it's the easiest.
I don't know how you chain that porta potty without going around.
I don't know
how you do that
either. I don't know. There must be some way that you fix them to a truck. I mean, you must check. Maybe they just strap.
Straps hold them onto the back of the porta potty lift.
Nobody has to go in.
Then here is the biggest one that the floodplain manager, and I think it's a real easy one to satisfy. It says provide emergency evacuation floodway locations. So the plan is that you park on the lot just off of the access. You're not going to be able to drive up to these sites in a vehicle. You're going to end up hiking your gear approximately, 300-400 feet?
Yeah.
About 400 feet maximum.
Yeah, broken up.
Yeah, it's not the end of the world. And maybe the property owner will provide, you know, garden weight carts for their use. But the cars are going to be parked off street and four cars. And then they're going to schlep their stuff to their campsite, which are going to be relatively located within 100 feet, 200 feet maybe, insulated from each other but not isolated. It's a high spot on the territory. So there's existing log roads there now. I don't think the plan is to do any kind of graveling for maybe other than the parking area. And a 500 square foot parking area would be enough for three cars. I was going to say before I lose the thought, but bear with me one more minute, please. I did write to the wetland biologist and asked her to look into this with regards to putting the parking area in maybe a mapped wetland. I think where I'm thinking the parking area would go is probably out of the wetland, but she'll be typically wanting to come take a look at the site and sign off for the parking area, because you can't introduce fill in a wetland. So.
Was there something you had mentioned about using logs to fill in? Could you explain
that? So the low spots on the trail, you could use corduroys. Basically, you cut parallel logs. Well, okay. You folks see these large wooden mats going down the road. There's like a half a dozen trees all bolted together. And they use those for power line right away maintenance and so on. The same concept is that you just take a number of 10, 12 inch diameter scrub hemlocks and you lay them in the low area. That provides a stable footing Well, the water is allowed to flow between the logs and over the logs when it rains. It doesn't block the drainage, so.
I don't want to make things complicated for Jared, but is there any risk that that now becomes part of increasing the possibility of someone else having a flood problem if these logs that were used?
We're talking about something of the size of a telephone pole or smaller, 6 feet long, laid in a line.
And we're not going to need any of that because
because
where we are, it's high and dry. You know, it's the old power line right behind the grade school.
And we're trying to limit any vehicle traffic to it. Now, if the ATVers from the neighborhood come up and tear up the roads, that's a different story.
Yeah.
But that's usually, and so far, I mean, that hasn't really happened. And of course, a summer like this summer, it's not an issue, but.
So your parking area, though, you're going to go down the easement that Green Mountain Power has, and then you turn right off of that.
Just off the side, get over on his boundary.
Yeah, okay. So you're not in the easement for parking?
No, they're not using anybody else's land.
That was the only, and they're not here in Green Mountain Power, but I think that was
their only concern. Well, they're giving that up, right?
That's what he was saying.
So it's actually, they have an easement through my property.
Right.
So, right. Yeah.
And then I think technically you have access.
Actually,
there,
you could.
But
drive right across on the power lines and have your parking lot right there. Anyway.
Yeah, I called them and to gate it and stuff, and they're like, "It's your property. We have the easement through it."
Did you talk to Jacobowski? Do you remember?
I did. Matt Jacobowski was actually the last day that the girl who died, can't think of her name right now. Plushiak. It was Jimmy's wife there. She worked there. It was the last day that before she got killed in West Paula. So that was the last day that I saw her and Matt Jacobowski. He was on the job. So yeah, I brought him down there.
What Kyle Madak said about providing emergency evacuation plan, these are his suggestions, and please be honest and tell me what of his suggestions would be an inconvenience. And so he says details such as evacuate, so this is like a sign for campers,
right,
to protect them in the event of a flash flood and they don't know what to do. I guess we have to instruct people now how to be smarter, but evacuation routes, signs with that, education of the landscape setting of the, to like show where the river is, instructing them on how to sign up for Vermont alerts so they can get an alert on their phone if there's flooding. Somehow give them the ability to have awareness of local weather forecasts, like www.whatever. That was his recommendation, and mainly it's because he said poor notification and awareness has led to some tragedies due to flooding in the height of summer in other parts of the country,
right,
like Texas.
After we just went through it, and of course I would want that.
Yeah.
So
100%.
Is any of that like unreasonable?
No.
I think the easiest way to do that is to post signage, on the campsite, hand it to them in their contractual agreement to rent, and then take 4x4 inch posts and drive the path, put these posts every 30 or 50 feet with reflectors on the way in and on the way out. So if they're showing up at 2 a.m. and going camping, they can find their way by following their flashlight down the reflector trail, same with the flood area. Get them up so that they're gonna be 3 or 4 feet in the air, red reflectors, or reflective tape, the white or yellow, iridescent.
Suggestion? One car for going in and a different car for coming out.
That's a great suggestion. Right.
And I hate to be nitpicky toward an applicant. You put a sign up and it's got to say that. But, I do understand his suggestion, but that's more of like a business thing. Like you trying to protect yourself from somebody saying.
Well, it provides the information that's being requested. So, and people don't read, here's your contract sign here. And there's the trail if you're on your own. Thank you much. Let me know if you have any questions later.
But that doesn't sound unreasonable as a stipulation.
No. And I would want that. Especially those families.
Well, it goes to customer satisfaction too. You don't want them getting lost. and it sounds as silly as it sounds. I could see somebody wandering off in the wrong direction, away from the road. It's a ways to the next road.
Somebody drinking warm Jenny or something. You just never know.
Yeah.
ended up at Craig Robertson's backyard.
I've been lucky as a forester for 45 years. I've never had to spend a night in the woods. I've come close a couple of times. I've never gotten so misplaced that I had to spend the night.
I'm going to keep quiet about something because it make you guys laugh so you never get out of here.
All right. So what's next then?
All right. Gentlemen, anybody have any other questions?
I've already
the
made
applicants?
My comment. One color going in.
I just had a question about the tenting platforms. What are you going to do? Build like a deck or something? And
yeah.
You're going to move it when you're done? That's the plan?
And I mean, those probably won't go up for quite some time. But
you're not going to take that out of there.
I can.
Okay.
And if that's what I have to do. Well, I mean, they can put them on wheels. Like this one can go right on wheels.
I don't understand the need for moving the deck.
It's just the tent itself.
Yeah. The tent's going to come down.
Right, that would make sense.
Otherwise, somebody's going to get down for them, right? So, yeah.
That was my only question.
So, yeah, we should iron that out and just make sure that... I mean, that I guess would come more in deliberation, but yeah, okay, that's. I don't know why it couldn't be left there unless there's something.
Oh, they're anchored.
Yeah, that's exactly. Okay. That would satisfy the floodplain manager, and there's really no need to move them. They're not.
That would be too much of a burden. That's why I was asking. Yeah. It seems silly.
So when you say it's seasonal, you're just talking about the.
The
tent
itself.
The use of the facilities, yeah.
Okay.
And I have one other thing that I think might be important. I want to give someone else a chance to. There's no 911 address there right now because
no,
it's.
There isn't now, but there could be.
Yeah, so I think any type of structure, even accessory
use. Mr. Heller can take care of that for you.
Right, so I'm just saying that I would probably think that if you're doing any kind of
sign. You've got to have one, for sure.
So that way people know when they're there. When they,
right,
well,
exactly.
Insurance, too, and all that.
Well, that's how they find the place, too, is because there's an, I'm a 911 coordinator, so you'd have that posted at the entrance to the property and at the parking lot.
Yep. So that they're aware that there is, and I don't know how you go about getting the 911 address, but that's, so I would say...
That's not hard.
Is that automatic, or do you have to apply
it? No, it's actually required under law.
Okay.
Mr. Heller can do that.
But you would, who's responsible for doing, making sure that happens?
Jim Heller.
I don't know. Who's the...
Jim Heller.
It would be Mr. Heller.
Okay.
Yeah. Every town has an appointment.
Yeah.
And they're getting fussier and tougher about that.
He would work on assigning a number.
You'd be surprised that people didn't want it. Then when they had to have an ambulance come and show up.
Well,
all right.
What's surprising is that the people that own property don't use it. I can tell you, and I don't want to keep this gentleman up any longer, but I can tell you the thing. When I talk to responders, they say, you can get to our road in record time. Then we waste a half an hour looking for the building because... The 911 number isn't there, or it's in a bush, or it's in some French type of floral script. And at 2 in the morning in a snowstorm, it's not reflective.
Not reflective, too.
Yeah, or it's on the building 200 feet back. Well, the rules say it's got to be on the entrance to the driveway with the public access, and it's got to be on the building. And they got to be certain size, and so on and so forth. People ignore all of that. And it's really to their demise, because if you have a medical event at 2 in the morning, time is precious, so... And I try to sell that to people.
Yeah, you're talking to somebody else. Don't talk to me.
Yeah. Some towns, I can't get the towns I represent to do it. They should just, everybody who gets a new permit for construction that involves an address, it should be a required fee that we'll provide the number and the post, and you're gonna pay for it, but you're obligated to put it in or you don't get a certificate of occupancy. But the reality of it, it's mostly voluntary. And so if people realize it's really a matter of life or death, and actually, if they like getting their Amazon packages, it helps, so.
And same thing with the ladder,
I'll figure that out with Kyle.
Big flood comes through.
I'll ask him.
Not going to rip down the
I'll ask him what the deal is. Well, this tree, I mean, it's... stood the test of time. I don't know. It looks pretty healthy.
So. Kyle seems to be pretty hell-bent about these ladders, making sure they...
Well, he must have seen something that we don't know.
Do you need to get an engineer or a surveyor for this site as well?
No, just maybe for the elevation, yeah. That we'd probably use it for the elevation.
I'm sorry, what was for the
elevation? So we need to be 12 feet above base flood elevation, so we need to probably establish that with a surveyor, yeah.
The 12 feet? Because you're going by like the ring of the tree, right?
We're using what they call the root collar is the term. And we're using native grade as the finished grade, and then the base flood elevation is probably lower than the native grade, so that's why it's in the floodway actually, and so you have to be a certain feet above that whatever the floodway is going to be, so that's why it needs to be apparently from the math 12 feet, and so for purposes of documenting that it's compliant to the permit, the surveyor is going to have to do a shot. Yeah.
Do you by any chance have a picture of the tree?
I don't. I don't.
How did it not get cut down?
Well, that's not a kind of tree.
Does your picture show the acorns underneath the tree?
Well, I'll show you a picture of the tree with the deer under it. I pulled out.
It's a pretty good size, but it's not lumber quality tree, so. It was probably there when they cleared and had merino sheet.
That's just around it. One of the pictures, just my deer camera, but that's the base of the tree.
It's like, if you think of Keebler elf commercials, that's the kind of tree it is.
My golly, it ain't changed much.
No, and you didn't cut it.
Is it just the picture, or does the tree actually kind of angle?
Tree angles a little bit.
It's got a branch.
That's fine. I brought the arborist down there just to make sure, you know, everything was healthy and looked good.
Well, if it survived Irene, it probably will survive. The life of an oak tree is probably about 125 years.
It's
plus,
huge.
So, yeah.
So now, when you build the tree house, is the entire support the tree, or will you be like maybe have it sitting on the tree, but put it in
the stairs will come down like that. So the stairs will be a leg for it, but the tree house will be on this side, supported from the tree. So it'll be supported from the tree completely.
Okay.
No more table.
I got it.
Gentlemen, any other questions?
No.
Do you guys have any other questions for us?
No, thank you.
Aside from time frame.
No.
It'll be fast.
Yeah. We are good. I am good.
I would entertain a motion.
Motion to adjourn.
No. Close the hearing, the testimony.
Oh, I'm sorry. I missed a part. Hold on. Final comments or questions from the applicant or applicant's representative? What am I looking for?
You need a motion to close the hearing or continue to a place another date and time set. So
I'm just making a motion to close the hearing.
I second, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Jen, did you get that? John made the motion, and Paul seconded it.
And
all in favor? Oh, any? I'm sorry. Any discussion? I have to keep remembering to do that.
Practice.
I'm hearing none.
All in favor?
Aye.
This meeting is adjourned. Hearing is adjourned.
I appreciate it.
Onward and upward.
We appreciate your patience.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to us. You got to admit, you'll see a certain number of applications in a calendar year. You really don't see too many like this.
Tree houses in the floodway.
Well, it's just, you know what I mean? Like, it's, look at what we got out there.
I'm going to bring in a rubber mallet.
I think you already have everybody's contact.
I think I have this piece of paper. Unless nothing's changed. I can hold on to it.
Oh, that's my grandson that does that noise. Dylan.
I need to make the motion to go in? Do I need to record the motion to go into deliberation? Is what I'm asking. Or are you postponing your deliberation?
I don't think we actually need to make a motion. I think we automatically go into deliberation.
Because it's not recorded.
It's not recorded.
Right there.
I'm leaving, but I'm not done recording yet. Okay.
It doesn't go in the field anyway.
to get the time of